Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are again. This will be the going on the second week of October already when this is airing, and we'll be enjoying fall. This is actually during these times when these are airing, we are, Linda and I are doing a couple retreats in New Hampshire. So we'll be back. And when we came up here with, you know, this for the 3 weeks here in Lake Winnipesaukee, we actually brought, you know, clothes for the summer, but we also brought a suitcase for clothes for the fall. We're just going to leave it here.
There you go. That's smart, you know, because you'll be back in just a few weeks.
We'll be back in a few weeks. And fall, for us, when we head back to Colorado, fall will be just starting. And then a week or two later, up in the mountains will be what they call peak.
And you guys are going to head up with Denny and Allie, right?
Denny and Allie the beautiful Colorado colors and the cool weather. And then we get to go to New Hampshire and see all the beautiful colors of New England. I mean, the falls here are so magnificent.
Right.
It's amazing. And then we get snow coming.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of winter we have.
Right? So it's always interesting.
We are having, I don't know if you guys have seen it up by the lake or not, but a crazy number of squirrels down here again. This 2018, this is just like trivia that no one cares about, but it's kind of funny. 2018 in New Hampshire, they termed it Squirrelmageddon. Whatever had gone on environmentally wise the year before, I guess, just made a crazy population of squirrels. And literally the fall, it was roadkill everywhere. I mean, it made news everywhere about how many dead squirrels on the highways. They were just everywhere. And I'm looking at what's going on in our yard right now and the number of squirrels I'm seeing and wondering if we're heading for another Squirrelmageddon year. We'll see, because there's a lot of them out this year.
So when Linda and I come down to see you tonight, are we supposed to be careful? We're gonna get it. On your porch?
Not attacked, but you will absolutely hear them in the woods next to us. They are working frantically to get all those acorns right now. And there are tons of them in there right now. So it is kind of funny. I truly haven't seen this level of activity since 2018. So I'm curious to see if we're going to have any kind of the same issue or if there's just a lot of them this year.
Funny. Well, we've been... we're in our series of Love God With All Your Heart, Mind, and Soul. And we had a really good discussion yesterday about unequally yoked. Great question we got from a person who listens about dating and how do I determine that? And again, it's all about the heart and where God wants to take it, knowing that light and dark can't be in the same place.
Right.
So that's why the essence of it is don't put yourself in a position where your joint decision making is controlled or influenced by somebody who's not yoked with you by following me. And again, keep thinking real simple. It's not just being a believer, by the way. That's why this verse is so critical, is that if you're not a believer, of course, you're not going to be able to follow God because you don't have the ability to follow God. So he said, that's kind of a clear milestone, but somebody could say they're a believer, which they've received Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they either haven't learned how to walk with God, or they don't care about walking with God, and they're operating in the flesh, in essence, acting like an unbeliever. And they've walked into darkness and you're trying to walk in the light. And he said, in that scenario, it's not about being a believer and unbeliever. It's are they have a heart to walk together into the light.
Right.
He said, so keep thinking simple. I'll show you. God says, I'll let you know if you have choices to make, like with partnerships, business scenarios, even church leadership scenarios. I'm dealing with a situation right now with a church leadership issue where, you know, they've got some deep, deep conflict due to people operating in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And there's a person on that board that is, has a heart to, bring them back to the light. Mm-hmm. So he's inviting them to come to the light. Now they either will or they won't, see?
Right.
Now, if they don't, he's going to be unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. And he'll have to decide, because he has the freedom to say, you know, okay, I would like to stay with you guys. It's important for me to have you have a heart to go do these things correctly, mm-hmm. under God's leadership. I want to go with you. Would you go? If they say no, which is possible because they want to remain in the flesh, see, they're going to live in darkness. Mm-hmm. And this is where it's so, this is difficult for people to get a hold of. Well, wait a minute. They're Christians. It's a church. What do you mean they're walking in darkness? Mm. Well, because light is being with God.
Right, right.
Being with God, and keep thinking simple. Why am I able to have light? Why am I able to be the light?
Because he dwells within us.
Because I walk with God who is the light. So if I'm in the kingdom, I'm walking with God, I'm hearing his voice, I'm following him. Now, by the way, he doesn't require perfection. It's not law. Mm-hmm. It's just a heart. If you exit out because of your selfishness, there's a remedy. It's called repentance. Just turn around. Come on back. Welcome back. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And your heart is to walk with me. And you've learned, and by the way, this is what we try to say through our abiding ministry. If you learn this, you will experience the covenant. You're going to be blessed to become a blessing. You will have grand life. And we keep adding in, which is true, doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble, doesn't mean you're mm-hmm. not going to have adversity, and it doesn't mean you're not going to have these sticky situations that we're trying to talk through. So I'm in the light, and that means then my partner, my executive team, my church leadership group, we can walk in that same place mm-hmm. and be light together. And if they're choosing to walk in the dark, even though they're a believer, they could be operating in the dark. And it's really simple. Why? Well, because they're operating under their own free will, opposite of God's will. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. So what do I need? Okay, now let's get, ideally, I would like my spouse to walk with me in the kingdom.
Right.
So that would be ideal. That'd be the best. And if you have a spouse that's a believer, you would keep encouraging that person, mm-hmm. you know, let's walk together. Let's learn to walk together. Let's see the beauty of this. If we go to unity there, God will command blessing. Let's learn that. Hey, do you see these other people that have learned that? And it would be better if we did. Number one. Number two is my inner circle. I need people who are all walking with God too.
Right.
Why? Well, so that we can discern God's will together, not to tell me what to do, but to process with me to receive God's will.
Right.
Which I will. So then if you have a small group, ideally that, more people in the church that you're part of. Now, will you have people that will be believers not walking with God? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do? We treat them with honor and respect, friendly, keep inviting them if they have a heart to go. You're not judging them. I can be working next to an unbeliever, the same thing. They don't even have a possibility of walking with God. Could we be friends? Yeah. Could mm-hmm. I work well with that person? Sure. Do I treat that person with honor and respect? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
See?
Yeah.
So I have different levels of relationships, but the ones that are closest to you, mm-hmm. ideally, we want to be walking with God.
Right.
Now, since you have choices, generally speaking up front, and that would be singles that are going to date and get married. Mm-hmm. Well, you have a choice to determine for God to show you that your mate is someone that is going to have a heart to walk in the light and you can learn how to walk in the light.
Right.
And that's all you, it doesn't, it's not about maturity. It's not about sophistication, education. So mm-hmm. there's usually the people that I'm dealing with in singles is that, you know, the one that is looking is one that's learning how to walk with God. Mm-hmm. They come across people they like, believers, and they don't know anything about it, see?
Right.
Well, because they're not at my level, then the answer is no, nope, 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 nope. It's all about the heart.
Right.
Do you want to go? Let's go.
Yeah.
God's
well, and even in that, though, it is also about what God tells you in that, mm-hmm. because there may be, if somebody has a very specific anointing on their life, And God says, no, I need somebody. I need you with somebody who is chasing as hard after me right now as you are.
Sure.
Because there's an, and so we have to pay attention to the nuance of what God is leading us in all of this as well. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only thing I'm trying to say there is don't set your own rule.
Yeah.
They need to be as mature as me. No, they don't.
Right.
Now God could say, I'm going to bring you to somebody like that.
Right.
But God will dictate it. And so we have a choice if we're single to date. And then two, we have a choice around the people we surround us with. Mm-hmm. And you got absolutely, and remember the great story of Jesus when he was going to go heal the Jairus's daughter and she died. Mm-hmm. And everybody's, you know, ridiculing him, you know, don't waste your time. Don't bother. It's already done. Isn't any more hope. And basically Jesus said, okay, all of you people out.
Right. He only kept those who truly believed what was going on.
The only ones that have a heart to be with me, I'll let you in. And he chose who his inner circle was going to be. Mm-hmm. And he said, the ones that don't have a heart to be my inner circle, you can't be my inner circle.
Right.
And so we have choices to make. So ideally, we can make choices, choose well, don't be unequally, and basically with people that have a heart to walk with God and be light. Okay, that's ideal. Now, we know in the world, there's all kinds of scenarios that aren't ideal.
Right.
Now, either I made a mistake. I didn't even consider this. I knew I was marrying an unbeliever. I really liked that person. And I thought, well, maybe they'll become a believer. Mm-hmm. And they never have.
Right.
And they've actually gotten more obstinate about, you know, Christianity. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or we were both unbelievers. Mm-hmm.
This one I see often.
Yeah. And I became a believer. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to walk with God and my spouse has no interest in this at all.
Right. And in fact, doesn't like the person I'm becoming because it's different than who he married.
Yeah, that's right. Which is interesting. And then third is that, you know, I'm in a partnership. I had somebody that that was a believer. We were doing well spiritually, but something happened to them and they really went self-centered and they're manipulating now, controlling, and they say they're a believer, but everything they do has no desire to follow God at all. And I can see that they're getting harder, they're getting more angry, they're getting more dominant, and they're asking me to make decisions that I just don't think are of God at all. But I'm in that scenario. So it started out okay. Seems like it started out okay.
Right.
But they become, in essence, walking away from the kingdom. And now they're living in darkness. And but I'm yoked to them. Partnership, business partnership, a marriage, whatever. And what do I do with that? You know, and okay, so let's start talking about those things. So number one, remember what Paul says in Philippians 3:13. One thing I've learned is to let go of the things behind and press on to the high calling of Christ Jesus. So God's perspective is always what we call now forward. My answers are now forward. Why?
Right.
We can't go back and change the past. Today, it just... So it doesn't really matter how I got here. If I made a mistake, God says, yeah, okay. Or I became a believer and they're not. Yeah, okay. Or it looked that they were a believer, but now they're acting this way. Yeah, okay. See, God says, well, how about now, since you're in that scenario, we got to deal with that. Yes. See, that's the issue. So first of all, don't go back and look at what I didn't. I didn't do this, didn't do this. Didn't. God said, none of that matters because it's, how about now if I just show you what to do? And I will, and remember, we talk about God's love and we've gone through all the detail of that, that God says, my heart for you is for you to experience my love, which is my relationship with you first and always, that you'll enjoy that. Are you enjoying that relationship? He said, independent of even your closest relationship with your spouse, you can still enjoy me and I can enjoy you. Number one. And then number two, I have capability to bring you the covenant and for you to live in the kingdom of God. And remember, the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17, is righteousness. You're walking with me. Peace, shalom, favor,
right,
and joy,
right,
in the kingdom of God. So he said, you can still live that way, regardless of what that other party's doing,
right,
or the conflict you have. And then I'll deliver the covenant. I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing. All of that is true. Now, he does say, and we know, this is pretty complicated.
Right.
You know, it's not easy. And then again, we go back to, and our heart is, well, God, why don't you just make it so we're both equally yoked and walking with you?
Mm-hmm.
And make it that way, because it'll be the easiest, the best, absolutely. And God said, yeah, that's true. However, I don't violate their free will.
Mm-hmm.
So there are choices that they have to make. And that's part of where I'm going to walk with you, to give them those opportunities to make those choices based on things that they might see that I'll show them through a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, well, I'll be happy when you make them completely follower of you, and God says, well, that may never happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I can still deliver to you the essence of peace and joy and freedom and wonder and relationship that I can have with you because you have a heart to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, and what I'm trying to say here, it doesn't prevent you from still enjoying life.
Right.
And that's what we tend to think that way. Well, because I'm in this mess, either I caused it or we just wound up here or something happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way out of it. So I guess I just have to live with it and be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, no, you don't. No, you don't. Okay, so let's go to, we've been in Romans, and we're going to keep talking about these different scenarios, but go to Romans 12, 16 to 20. The first part of it says, you know, keep following me and live in the life of respect and gentleness, and all of the characteristics of Christ are to be yours. And remember, fundamentally, that's how I want you to live in any scenario. And then he's talking about, okay, people that don't walk with you in the same way, you're going to have conflict, you're going to have opposition, you're going to have manipulation, you're going to have control. Here's what I want you to do. And go ahead and read verses 16 to 20.
Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah. And then add to that 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 26.
Sure. 26 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will.
Yeah. Okay, so as we're setting this up, and we'll continue in our next session, go deeper in this, but see, he makes these beautiful statements that set the stage for his answers about how do we handle these very tricky situations.
Mm-hmm.
He says, as far as this concerning you, make an effort to live peaceably.
Right.
With somebody else. And so always in your heart, I've got to first be in peace myself.
Mm-hmm.
So keep working on that, which we'll talk through. And then how can I live peaceably with this person that I can't just walk away from? I'm unequally right. yoked in a marriage, a partnership, a relationship, a family member. How do I do that? And then he says, don't avenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't you plan how you're going to get back at him.
Right.
Or how you're going to think you can make him do the right thing, because they're already resistant to that. So it's not going to do you a lot of good to tell them what they should be doing
mm-hmm.
differently. You should. He said, so don't even worry about that. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. They are walking away. They are rejecting you. So they're rejecting me, and they're going to suffer the consequences of that. And don't worry, they will. So you can be trusting it. But then he goes in 2 Timothy, he says, avoid ignorant disputes and quarrels. Okay, so think about that. What is something then that I'm called not to do as I have this difficult relationship? If I'm to avoid disputes and ignorant quarrels.
I don't know. I mean,
don't fight them.
Yeah.
Don't debate them. Don't go into arguing. Don't go into the process of trying to prove your point because there's no value to that. Why? Because they don't have a heart to listen to you.
Right.
At all.
So it's not going to get anywhere. Yeah.
So if you operate in the flesh, and I'm actually a kind of an expert in this because of how I grew up.
Yeah, I became, you love to debate.
I love to debate, and I can outlogic most people. And God kept showing me that, well, how's that working?
That working for you?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, he said, why? Because he said, you're not doing it in the spirit. You're doing that in the flesh. Mm-hmm. And you've actually joined their game. Mm-hmm. And you're actually enhancing what they're doing because of what you're doing. Because you're doing ignorant dispute
right.
and quarreling. And he said, so if I'm going to guide you, you got to stay in peace. How can I offer peace? How can I not engage in things that are worthless by debating, fighting, arguing, and coming against them? And that's really what I saw was the harder that I came, the harder they got against me. And then I realized, again, how foolish it was because that other person in some way has had some power over me. You know, a relative or a business situation or a friend.
Something you couldn't really walk away from.
I couldn't walk away from it. And I couldn't win because I didn't have the power. They had the power. Mm. And he said, well, that's foolishness that you're actually making them come against you harder. So stop that. So be gentle. And he said, what you really want is ideally for them to come to know the truth. If they know the truth, they will repent. He said that perhaps that they'll get to repentance. They'll say, oh, you know what? God is showing me something here. And now I want to follow him and let's work this through. He said that would be ideal. And by the way, remember, they've been taken captive by the enemy to do his will. And he said, remember, he's talking about believers here. Is that, you know, people are being, they're not, you know, possessed, but they've been taken captive where they think they're doing the right thing and justifying what they're doing in their mind. But really, it's following the enemy. And he said, so your prayer is that they would get their will back and then they would repent and then you could get to know the truth. And he says, I'm going to have to guide you through all of that. And remember, it's a heart issue. I'm not guaranteeing you that they're going to.
Right, right.
Because they have a free will and they may stay stubborn. They may stay manipulative. They may stay controlling. But he says, I need you to stay in peace and I need you not to quarrel and debate and argue, which means I got to show you what does that really look like in this very situation with these people that tend to want to drag me into the debate.
Right.
Because they want to keep proving their point or they're going to keep hurting me. And I got to learn how to do it with the right boundaries. How do I set up the right boundaries to do this? So, which is what we want to talk about as we keep going here. But we can't, if we're in an unequally yoked situation, in a relationship, again, that could be a family member that can either be a believer who's manipulative and controlling, walking in the flesh, a family member that's an unbeliever, and they're even harder. It could be a business partner. It could be my spouse.
Right.
That is no longer really cordial. And they're pretty hard-hearted. They're pretty dominant, pretty manipulative. And saying things like, I don't even want you going to church, you know, and stuff like that. Okay, what do we do with that? And all we're trying to set up is, well, there's an answer. And I need you to stay in peace. Don't engage in the quarrel and don't come against them yourself to get even, which means I got to show you interesting stuff of how you can do it and not allow them to keep doing what they're doing.
Right. Right.
That's tricky. So, Father, we do thank you for the truth of this as we get in the word and we have very, very, very complicated situations that we face. What do we do? And you're going to keep giving us this wisdom. You've set up the structure of it. And now we'll talk about specifics of how do we process that to receive what you have to say. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich, and thank you for joining us, listeners. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.